I can see this. Right.
My name is Chris Bell, and I'm with Colonel Hewitt. And today the date is July the 6th, 1982, and we're at Colonel Hewitt's home. And Colonel Hewitt, perhaps if you could start by telling me where and when you were born.
Well, I was born in Bradford, Yorkshire, mm-hmm. in England. Mm-hmm. And I came out to Canada as a boy. I was 16 years old. So that's the time I could come out on my own. Mm-hmm. And my parents, my father was an engineer on the Midland Railway. So I came out as a scout to go and join the first outfit that came here. They marched from Saskatoon up to settle around Battleford, you see. Mm-hmm. And so I came out to join them, so I came right to Moose Jaw from Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, into Moose Jaw, I found about 12 young men, about my age, they're just an old age, and they all came up to the bar, it was the bar called, yeah. And so he got jobs in Moose, and he left there. We got that to walk from Saskatoon to Battleford, you see. Mm-hmm. There's no railway in those days. So I took was Crazy Village one, but he had to walk all that way. That's where all the trouble came from. The person in charge of the party, he didn't know a thing about. And some Americans with horses, trained their horses out there, so these young folks came out of Moose Jaw. That's where I met them first. I stay there then, in Moose Jaw, because that all prepares for nobody think about coming out either. That was Battleford, or wasn't Battleford then. What do you call it? It's just the other side of Battleford. What was that big thing up there?
Red River?
No. They built out the whole colony. They've got a southern sail from Liverpool. About the old colony out to be, and then they walked
up. What year was this, sir?
1902, it would be.
So you were born in
1896? No, 1889. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was about 12 years old. I saw the bar colony that pull out, you see, and from the United States. That's what made me kind of anxious to see what they were doing in Canada. We thought it was all snow and rain at school. We learned about the United States, we learned the country was there, and a little bit of geography. But Canada was cold, you see, all snow. So we didn't know. That's why there's so little known in England about Canada, because it was one of the snows or something like that. So passing him.
I think that Saskatchewan at the time was still a territory. It wasn't even a province.
No, when I came out here, it was one big, ten, it was district number 10, because it went right up to Medicine. Because they chopped this, I was just thinking about it, trying to get my mind on the old thing, but it was one great big chunk of land there, and posted. Or by the Hudson Bay, it came down here from the north, mm-hmm. and branches all south of the CPR Railway, mm-hmm. which is the boundary here, around 25 miles from Moose down to the well. And there was a great big ranch, 20 or 30 miles big. Mm-hmm. The other thing, but horses, you know, kind of this room was fixed to feed them, you see, and then they were getting back by train, uh-huh. because from Moose Jaw, we had a certain amount of the Sioux line, and then they took them right down to the States, back to wherever the ranches were down there.
That doesn't sound too legal, does it, sir?
Well, nobody bothered about it. The mounted police were out there, they're the ones that enforced everything else. They were pretty good, and they were free. They seemed to do what they wanted. You know, that's one of all this, and remained, and the Indians had been quite accustomed to all the Sioux Indians around Moose Jaw and down to Wood Mountain and Little Bunch. live around there looking at that, this side of the American boundaries. Mm-hmm. Because they've been scrapping the Americans, and the Sioux had moved into Canada, it's over the boundary line, and, you know, so it was, and of course, afterwards, in the end, it's going to be massive, but it was killed one of their jobs.
You came over with your father and your parents?
Oh, no, I came with a friend of mine.
You're just 12 years old.
I was 16. No, I was 16. First of February is my birthday. Mm-hmm. I was 16 the 1st of February, and I was quite, it didn't matter to me. My father had quite a family of his own. But I had three brothers and a sister when I came out to Canada. Mm-hmm. And there were two or three more had gone after that. So they came out as parents. Two were born in Canada, and they came up as a year later, but then by that time I began to get around the country a bit and see where he would take homesteads, you know, take up. And then in Moose Jaw, along the Saskatchewan, the peace, because the land wasn't good, it wasn't bad, some of them bad, but you could get another quarter, $50 an acre. Which you had the homestead, did your homestead, you said, yeah, that, and paid for it, about $3 So he had a half section farm then, But that's how the thing was, it's all, well, it was nice there, it was prairie, there was hot farms there, you could see the wheat growing, and lots of grass and even shrubs growing, you know, and coyotes sticking down there, you know, ducks. Well, you could shoot duck in the spring then, and you just go in the thousands of them. But the fall of the time when you get your ducks, and then the trees, you could have them outside. I need to do the winter schools, you know, matching fat, because they fed further north as they came swinging down, and they used to pass in great swarms. West Moose Jaw, not north, because right into Lake Johnson, the great big lake is about, I suppose about, because we had the deepest part there, it was about 8 feet, about 7 feet there. And then you got shallow towards the shore, you could walk in about half a mile out, in the bottom of the hips. So it was all right, that all down. It was free up in the right after the bottom. It was good. They used to rain on almost still in February. Mostly at night. It didn't get much in the daytime. Mostly at night. And with the old prayer fire from the head, it just went up there. Put the sparks out, you know, they passed through the parish. Mm-hmm. And then there was the grass there, dry. It would burn up here. It would go up each side of the railway. They had much trouble, they put the fires out, you know.
Well, tell me, sir, were there any a military background in your family? Had your father been in the services? Or
he before he got married, because his father died young. He was in the middle, only young in the middle. And I had a tax study, and he got bankrupt some way or another. I don't know. The old industry and all that. And he died quite fairly young. My father was only 9 in the end. But his mother then, she met another man from Habitat, from some place in Ontario. She married him, and she came out of Canada and lived there, and they had I only saw him once, he came over. 1907 or 1908, just after the opening of the Manchester ship canal, so he came out to get wool and stuff from England to this mill in Terminal, I had a man by his
Is it a large city?
But they had a mill there, though. flat. Mm-hmm. It's so flat. And they didn't make sausages, of course, they just made flat. They got the stuff from England, they used it from Manchester. That's where my grandmother at the time. Mm-hmm. They used to ship it from Manchester right out to Montreal. Mm-hmm. And they lived at a very old town, they had a mill there, a wool mill. This man, my grandmother married, is here, I don't know him, and he was born there at all. Well, that's how that family got mixed up. So I was quite, in fact, I was with a gully here in the Big Hobbiton for a year. So I wrote home and told my father to go to Australia. The boats from Victoria, yeah. But then my father wrote out and said they were going out in April. They'd already got the tickets and they were going out in April back to the field to Montreal, the Australia. So then he was an engineer on the railway in England. Then he started to get back and he wanted a farm. So he got to Buffalo Lake and went up there and we took up two homes to ride up the one, and he took a ride up one and went to the lake, Buffalo Lake, and he took no one on the top. Then he got the person to get the extra load, you see, the big other anchor. But it was too shallow, the story, so he got a better one outside of Moose Jaw, and I didn't go anymore because I got a job in the post office.
Were you married at this time? Or
oh, no. I didn't marry for a long time.
You got a job at the post office?
Yes, I got a job in the post office there. 5 years I was there. Working 10 years, going down to the train and pulling the bags up, you know, and there were two trains each way. Mm-hmm. And then the one in the States came through line. So we had to meet them all, and the bags came out that way. We had a four-wheel truck that was easy to pull and push.
Were you paid very much for this? Your
salary? Well, it was $50 a month. That's what in those days, you know. Well, east of Fort William is $45 a month. Mm-hmm. And west of Fort William is $50 a month. We got $5 extra. Oh, well, we got a raise. Not regular raise, but just now and again, I get $1,000 to be my.
That was a good idea.
But it never got very big. Mm-hmm. And after that, I got a chance to go to the Saskatchewan government. When they moved, and they brought the two provinces, Alberta and Saskatchewan. This government, or the Saskatchewan government, I came on in May 1910. Mm-hmm. They're going to divide Moose Jaw and West and up to Township 26 as because they'd already got one to the east, you see. Mm-hmm. And eventually there were 10 opposite to Saskatchewan from 26 up from the Prince Harvest and Brownwood. So I was in the early ones with the three, you see, so we were left at every time for about a year, copying all the old ones, because all the old ones, they weren't the town system then. They moved into the town system, and anybody with a farm and papers had always lots of papers. Finally, well, we had to get into the town system because there was nothing else in Saskatchewan, in Manitoba. Yeah, you could have either way, but Francis was the best because he sort of had one piece of paper. Mm-hmm. So I'll fix that. But they allowed the other parties, so it made it, and BCA did it the same. They still got this double system in its pole because Francis is chopped off every time. You start a fresh thing, you see, a type of that system. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew who said it.
But they doubled it.
Well, I think they've dumped a lot of the old things up. They're always so far away. The homes may be 60 miles from the town, or 50 miles. But you have a big piece of land. You lived on it. Mm-hmm. They wanted about selling wheat to anybody. They wanted to grow wheat for themselves and cattle, horses.
Well, you, sir, what were you doing between 1910 and
1914? I was in Moose Jaw in the Lantine's office. No, Lantine. I was deputy registrar for about 2 years, or 3 years. And so then, that time, then they decided to make another house in Swift Cut. We chopped up half of the Moose Jaw. Right down to the border, down to 26, so north of the Deep Star River.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got when the staff were ready for a swift run. They copied all the plan that was going to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of half in charge of that because I was a deputy in Worcester. And then I went to the swift run. And a lawyer in Swiftfield. What the hell was his name? He's pressed, but he was going to be the deputy up there to Mr. Hardy, because he was quite good on. So I went up there for about 3 or 4 weeks while this fellow got rid of his practice law, because he was a lawyer in Swiftfield. And I came back again to Moose and stayed there till 1950, when I was in the unit there because you were waiting to see if they were going to pick us up. There were about 20,000 bombs down in Montreal, you know, and they were waiting for you. So the old military man there, what's his name? He was sort of about in thousands, and first battalion, second battalion, third battalion, and so we were 46 basically when they got to most of us.
Did you try and join up right away, 1914?
No. No, well, they weren't doing much. They were all freezing to death and all the shots, it was raining. And there wasn't much fighting going on. Because the main fighting was just on the, when the Germans were walking in, they came from Belgium, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, then they closed, just to try and catch the British army. Of course, well, these Belgians, they chopped the German dikes down, and there was water all over that damn place.
Mm-hmm.
But that division of the, I forget the name, came in and they cut down because of the Vimy Heights, the Vimy Ridge, stretched from, about 12 miles from Belgium border, right down, and really gave them a good, they could be, they were on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Dug in, all nice and warm and so on.
And look right down?
We couldn't look down.
But they could.
They could.
Yeah.
It's all, and it looked down on us too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all because it gets very flat. Actually, it's very flat there for quite a way.
Mm-hmm.
And they stuck up on the top there and kept bombarding us and doing all sorts of things.
Okay, so 1915, how did you join up? How did you get into the service?
Well, it was not normal. I wasn't in the service. We had volunteers then. Mm-hmm. I was in the Moose bus, the 95th at that time, 95th Rifles, they called us.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got some people over from the war office who began to organize what we get. Then we went, we joined up in the battalion then, because I brought the Moose Jaw there, but we were waiting. We were all working people then, because most of the bums and the outer works,
mm-hmm.
was 20,000 down Quebec way that. We'd be shot off in thousands, about 1,000 to a battalion. First battalion, second, they get them away, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't very well trained at that time, yes, that they're doing it. But that's how it happened. Then when they decided to take a while, they began to take the people out of the stores and And, you know, anybody would join the party. They wanted anybody to be a volunteer. That's what it was after.
Mm-hmm. And you did in
1915. Yes, I was all about the volunteer. You just changed from, I went out of the Munster Rifles into the 46th Battalion.
Mm-hmm. You see?
And I've been a sergeant in the in Munster and the volunteers. We didn't get any money on that. So we got a bit, we got a party at the end of the season. We had 14 days.
So you had been in this militia unit before the war?
Oh, yes.
For how long?
Well, 11, during the 11th is when it started.
Mm-hmm. No, but you
there
were
was
in
no a militia before that.
There was no militia before that?
No, no.
I see.
No, they had the police there, and there were one or two battalions down east. But kind of had no fighting force at all.
Nothing.
We only started in 1911, so we sergeant came up from Winnipeg. I think it was I wanted the young fellas to join the army, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But not as a job, but just Tuesday, Friday night, Tuesdays, two nights. And then we got 10 days down just near Brandon, Australia, nice country, hillside and grass and stones and, you know, great old plains where you could play soldiers. So that's what always happened. And so that stayed on till 1913, I guess. But 11 was a Saturday there, was trying to get the Western people into the army.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, all we had was the South Dakota Horse, which was then only the Boer War, Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Boer War in 1901 or 2, and that was kind of the main force. They had the Governor General's Foot Guards down in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the soldiers we had. So they were just little groups here. It was all small towns. When I went to Moose, there was 2,500. Well, large in Regina. Regina had 2,000 people. We were 2,100, so but we thought we were high. But we had a conservative member, so we were always put back, you know, by the Liberals, you see. The Liberals just beat us. It's not a while, so we were always looking at them. Then they moved from Battleford, which was the capital of when they split the Albert and Battleford. Then they moved to Regina, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Then Saskatoon, then they began to build some Saskatoon West, a grand trunk built it west, and the Bar Colony got up there. And then they built the university there, even though most of it was one of the best, you know, better than Regina even to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Weyburn, they fixed the university there in Weyburn, and Regina got to be the capital and so on. So most of them left out, but the CPI wouldn't go to Regina because it had a row with the CPI, it had a row with the government about it. So they made Moose Jaw there. And that's why the railway and railway trains and the stoppage and the direction was in Moose Jaw and not in Regina. They just sailed through Regina, you see. And Regina became the capital after all. Battlefields for a little while it was in the big territory, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But,
tell me, sir, when you joined up and you were assigned to the 46th Battalion, you were a sergeant?
Yes, I was a sergeant.
Mm-hmm. What sort of sergeant?
Well, just sergeant, that's all. As the Lewis guns, you see, before that, we had no Lewis guns, they had all Maxim guns. And their long range is affair, but
mm-hmm.
They were satisfied. So they began to make a unit of seekers, because they could fire about 1,500 to 2,000 yards, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Lewis guns, we only got up to about 300 yards, 350 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually shot in that manner. So after that, I was being a sergeant. I was sent to several courses. One was the first one was the what the hell do they call it?
Mortar?
Or not, yes, he had a lime tree you put down. Mm-hmm. And the Lance Cottle, who was in charge of six men,
mm-hmm.
he used to carry the thing with you, see,
mm-hmm.
the machine. And the second man carried the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four members of that
carry
four,
ammunition.
They carried two. Well, they were pretty heavy with their own stuff, powers, the rifles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they carried that for a while. But it didn't pan out very well. It was all right. Somebody thought about it. And you could, well, they were better than the German people with the skies falling. That these, they could point in the right direction, but not exactly on the spot, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because it depended how much. Whoever loaded the, because you took not that lot, about a pound,
mm-hmm.
dropped in the front of the machine, you see,
mm-hmm.
and it went down at the spike in the water and it shot out, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't all loaded equally, so the misses occasionally, you see. But it didn't work out. It was just a thought that it was a bit more fire and a bit more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But they also wanted it. They were the first ones. The Germans got first.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, then we got the Lewis gun came in. It was like a Maxim gun, but it didn't have that same quality. But he had a round 10 by, not that big,
mm-hmm.
or 8 to 10 inches. And it was 24, 25.
Rounds
in there, mm-hmm. But you had to teach people to just pull it. You let one or two shots go because there was only kept out on the trigger. The damn thing was empty in no time. You know, and you can't carry too many those around with your team.
Mm-hmm.
All guys two in beside the water, but the guys all the other stuff. You know, the ammunition done. Spare to around the next. So it's quite the opposite. After a while, you got used to it. You could blow about two or three shots and you're fairly accurate, you know, it's training. So we had those until the 1st of April, 17. Then I got my address for the song. It was a baby, they're very bunch of girls that come off in 2 or 3 days, so they set me up. Gave me a commissioner, as I said then,
mm-hmm.
and I went up to the Bethune and got a uniform, bricks, leggings, boots, revolvers, everything. I think it must have come to about $200 or so, but I think I did it at 17.
Mm-hmm.
And damn it, when I got out here and come back to Worcester to get out, here they had the bill for me for this certificate. I got it. Not the first of January 1917.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it must have been 2 hours away after the army in Bethune. It was in Bethune. So I got dressed up there that and came back to the town and then I had about the baby, about, I don't know where the 5th or the 7th, you know, just somewhere around there.
Easter,
but
it was Sunday,
snowing.
It was Easter Sunday, I think.
Yes, it was Sunday, yes.
Yeah.
But then it was snowing like the devil. Fortunately, right behind us.
Right in their faces.
In their faces, yeah. But
yeah.
They didn't last long. They got out and went up the hill. And it was all wet. So it rained ourselves all the time. But we didn't do too badly on that because they couldn't see us very well. It wasn't fine snow, as I thought. Yeah, I was snowing here.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite good flakes. But lots of it, you know, blowing right that way.
They couldn't see a thing.
Well, they could see walking with the army, but they could see more coming,
mm-hmm.
because maybe there was all four divisions were operating at that one show.
And the 46th Battalion was a part of the 4th Division, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Oh, yes, it's the...
But you were also on the Somme, weren't you, in 1916?
Yeah, I was in the Somme, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was 46, it says the 46th, I know you did travel, but... There's a poor old 44th that got hit badly because they used to send out two boys. They weren't boys, they were young fellows. They ran down to shoot it and gave them the orders of what was going to happen, what was going to happen. So they got around to us, so we were going to have a show that morning. So we quit and started to have a bed and visit before, so we had cold, it was all cold. And then the 44th left.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, the Germans began firing, and we could see it was quite daylight then. And then this regiment walking across, you see, and it was a bit of a hill. Anyway, quite a few got as far as the German trench had been evacuated. There was only about 50 yards from the Germans, only yards, because they were very close to the town, and too wet, and most of them, especially the German, and their easy crew, there was someone they didn't want to fight. They got up and sit on the top of the well, it was too damn wet down there. we got empty boxes to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was over there, but if the crack zone took them in, because they all shifted every 48 hours and changed again, then they'd find anything they could see. But There were two German brigades or divisions. They were very kind in a way. They had to fire this fire, but they weren't firing anybody particularly, but they fired and they'd keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
If it was rain or foggy or something like that, you see. So we could keep quiet. You get on the earth where it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get an empty cartridge box on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They could stand on that, and they were big, heavy wooden boxes, you know. So they lasted well in the mud. But all sorts of other things. You don't know how you got through it, as a matter of fact. Because
were you ever wounded at all during the war, sir?
I was wounded, no.
Because you were also at Passchendaele with the 46th
Battalion. No, I didn't. Now, there they are, you see. I got my commission on the 1st of April.
Which was just before Vimy Ridge, so you were
I was an officer then. Mm-hmm. And another thing, they got, we all had 8 Lewis guns.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 for each company, that was all, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
were there any Vickers machine guns as well?
No.
Just Lewis machine guns.
The Vickers out there was a special group now. They take them all the way over a year before that.
They came.